Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, both of my guests today are living up here in the Pacific Northwest, and both are doing work that's making a huge difference in people's lives. Coming up around 12:35 today, I'll bring you an interview I did early one morning last week with New York Times bestselling author Jo Robinson. She's a health writer and food activist, and she studies all the latest and greatest science on the subject. She lives right here on Vashon Island. And her new book is called Eating on the Wild Side, The Missing Link to Optimum Health. And I have to tell you, this book is an absolute powerhouse of knowledge. For example, Dr. Andrew Weil blurbed it on the back of the book and said that he learned so much from this book. So that tells you how much great information is in this book. A couple of teasers there. U.S. cherries, for example, have three times more pesticides than imported cherries. Welch's Concord grape juice, which I thought was kind of junk food, apparently is more nutritious than any other juice in the supermarket. So there's some really interesting facts in there, as well as the science behind it. And that's coming up around 12:35 today. But first, I'm very pleased to welcome Elijah Winfrey. He's our Northwest community champ this week. He's making a big difference in raising awareness for autism. And let me tell you a little bit about Elijah, and then we'll bring him on. He is an avid golfer. He's a golf coach at the First Tee of Greater Seattle. He has a niece and nephew who are both autistic, and that drives him to be a strong advocate for autism. He's vice president of the Seattle Children's Autism Guild, which raises awareness of autism, and volunteers at Make-A-Wish here in Washington State. He's also the founder of Team Winfrey, which is all about giving back and helping out in the community. And I have to tell you, this guy is one of the most humble people I've spoken to, and I'm very pleased to have you here, Elijah Winfrey.
Thank you for having me on the show.
We're going to call you Eli because you said that people only they only call you Elijah if they're mad at you.
That is very true.
But my name is Vicki Ann. I only get Vicki Ann if somebody's mad at me too. So I understand that. So tell us a little bit about you. Let's just introduce you to our listeners. I became familiar with you through Twitter and Facebook and have been following what you do up here in the Northwest and on a larger scale too. But a little bit about you, you're married, you have a two-year-old going on three-year-old, you live right up here in Redmond, and I understand you've been here for about 6 years. So what brought you to the Northwest?
You know, I always wanted to live out on the West Coast, and I decided to take the plunge and see if I really wanted to do it or if I was going to come out here, get homesick, and go back. Since I've been out here, it's been great.
Yeah.
The people here have been outstanding, and I love it.
Yeah. And you moved from Georgia. Is it very? I've never been to Georgia. Is it very different?
It's the humidity is. it's different. It's the South. We talk a little different, a little slang. But other than that, the people are pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. I think. A lot of that is your attitude. There's that saying, I remember when I went to New York for the first time and everyone said, oh, the people are so rude. I found them so friendly.
Right.
I got off the subway and I was lost. I'd had to get off the subway because of an incident. I thought, I'm not sticking around for this. And so I was looking at the map thinking, where am I? And two people almost instantly came up to me and said, where do you want to find? Where are you going?
Because
I had my suitcase with me. It was obvious I was an out-of-towner there.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you is because of the work you're doing up here, Eli, and because you are somebody who's practicing what he preaches, you're somebody who's integrated his passion into the work that you do daily. I asked you outside when we were sitting out in the green room, if you had a are getting a holiday or vacation, you said, what did you say?
No. I think because I do so much, and I love doing it, by the way, it's a vacation in itself. And I think for me, seeing the end result of a lot of things that I'm involved in, it's like being on vacation. It's like being in Hawaii, because you see the joy that you bring to people. And so no vacation as of yet, but, you know, you never know down the road.
It's kind of a busman's holiday, but just without the vacation.
There you go.
Right. And so I was curious how you first got into golf. You're an avid golfer. You teach golf. You put on a lot of autism awareness events through golf channels. And you said that Greg Norman was a huge influence on you. And that's how come. Tell us a little bit more about that story and how you got involved in golf and how it became the passion that it is for you now.
Right. You know, I was watching the 1996 Masters, and Greg Norman had a 6-shot lead. And I was a big fan of his growing up. I had the shirts, the pants, the belt, the hat. And he lost the 6-shot lead. And I just became hooked, instantly hooked. And I think it was because he wasn't afraid to fail, right? He knew that he was going to get criticized, and they did criticize him quite a bit. But the way he handled himself, it made me a big fan of him and golf. And from that day forward, I just started to play. And as I told you earlier, it's a process. We're good some days, and some days we're not so good.
It's golf is not something my sister and I are like really super enthusiastic about. I think I shared this story with you before, but my parents were avid golfers, and they ran their businesses in the day, and then, you know, in the summer we hardly saw them because they were down the golf club, and my brother was with them too. And they had special clubs made for him when he was like 6 or 7, and they'd go down and practice every night. But our Sunday dinners, all I remember about them was, you know, yeah, there was all this great food, but we had to hear every hole. We had to hear shot by shot by shot. I took a wood on this one, and I took a 6-iron on this one.
Yeah.
Does your wife play golf?
No. We went to Augusta, Georgia, to see my parents, and I took her out, and she hit a shot into the bunker, and I kind of walked up there with her, and I was trying to teach her, and she kind of looked at me like, I got it, and I kind of backed off, you know, and she hadn't played since, but she's so busy, but you know, she has clubs, and she does want to get back out there at some point.
Right. I think it's hard for a spouse to teach another
spouse. I think so.
Probably leave that to another professional, because you do teach professionally. So what was it that drove you to take this hobby into, you know, I know it was an all-consuming passion for you, into your profession?
You know, I guess wanting to make a difference using it. We all, as athletes, play, you know, different sports. And I think a lot of us don't use the platform enough, nearly enough, right? And so as I started playing more and enjoying it, I just decided, you know, I want to do something different, you know, using golf as the platform.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play basketball anymore or baseball anymore or football, but I just thought I could use golf to accomplish other things, you know, off the golf course that would affect kids and adults, right?
Right.
So.
And so you became involved in autism, because this all ties in, when your sister has you have a niece and a nephew, both with autism.
Yes.
And how old are they now?
My niece is 7 and my nephew is 15.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you tie the two together here?
Well, when I found out about my nephew, I, you know, kind of looked at my sister and just said, you know, I want to be your voice. You know, I want to go out and represent you and my nephew. And when I found out about my niece, I felt the same way. And, you know, I just wanted to, I guess, give her something that she could look at. You know, if she's having a tough day, she could say that, hey, my brother's out doing something for me that's really positive. And he didn't push us by the wayside. He didn't forget about us. He's using his career or what he does pretty good to help us and to be my voice. And I appreciate that.
Right. Is she out here? Or is she in Georgia still?
She's in Georgia.
She's in Georgia still. But of course, she can see all of this because you're very active on Facebook and Twitter and on the Seattle Autism Guild website and stuff.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the work you're doing with the Guild here in Seattle, and also about some of the other volunteer work and, you know, your point of view about getting involved in community. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and my guest in this segment is Elijah Winfrey. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Four! Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle. Then it started to hook just a wee bit. And that's when my caddy lost sight of it. That little white pellet has never been found to this day. But it went straight down the middle.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Talk radio to brighten your day.
Ahead of the talk radio curve, naturally. Alternative Talk 1150.
Smidge off line. It headed for two, but it bounced off nine. My caddy says, long as you're still in the state, you're okay.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. I'm going to look at the camera and welcome people back because Eli said, I never look at the camera. And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. I'm very pleased to have community champ with me, Elijah Winfrey. And I think he maybe cringes a little when I call him a community champ because he really is a very humble guy who's doing this out of the deepest place. You know, I run into a lot of people who, you know, say they're serving others and some make a pretense of it. There's no pretense here. This guy is the real deal.
Thank you.
Very pleased to have you here. So I want to talk a little bit about the Seattle Guild, Autism Guild, and what you're doing there with and how you're combining all of this golf and passion and effort into giving back.
The Guild is a great organization. I got involved through two people, Karen Kazuka and Andrea Dufeld. And they were reorganizing the board. And we had a talk one day, and you know, I kind of said, you know, I'm pretty busy. I'm playing a lot of golf, and I'm doing other things, but I do want to be a part of the Guild, you know. And they were okay, sure. How about if you think about being vice president? And I kind of my eyes got big, and I kind of said, I don't know about being vice president. I don't think I'm ready for that. You know, but we kept talking and, you know, I just decided, why not? Right. I'm not afraid to fail or fall because I know I'll get back up. And this is another channel that I can use to raise awareness. And they do a tremendous job of raising awareness for the Autism Center. And I'm so blessed to be a part of their organization.
And they do a lot of the fundraising for they are the sole representative, I think. Who does the fundraising, is that correct?
Yes.
For the Autism Center?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it is something that, you know, is we're hearing more about, but I know you don't think we're doing anywhere near enough. We're not shouting out loud enough. And there are many ways that people can get involved. One of the things that you've implemented yourself is something called Team Winfrey. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, it's another avenue, and it's centered around autism. And what it is basically is, you know, I'm looking for people who want to make a difference in the community, right? And all I ask is that you give back, whether it's donating clothes, whether it's helping a old man or a old lady across the street, just something to give back to the community. I think. It's almost become a lost art. You hear about it still, but not to the effect that we used to hear about it and see it on TV. Mm-hmm. And so I just decided to start Team Winfrey. There's a young man by the name of Zale Lester who soon as I put it out on Facebook and Twitter, he Facebooked me and said, I want to be a part of your organization. And he said, I don't know anybody with autism, but I would love to make a difference in the community. And, you know, he also said that he would honor me by continuing to get good grades, which I thought was fantastic, right?
Right, right.
And, you know, so it's all about giving back and not being afraid to give back, right? Some of us sometimes we're shy when it comes to going out in the community and doing things. And I think the more that we do get out and do it, the better. And it's okay to fail. It's okay to get that no thank you today, right?
Right, right.
So, as long as you're not afraid to do that, you'll be okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, a great way to meet people, too, because I've always volunteered for, you know, for something that I'm interested in and passionate about. If I've moved, like I moved up here and knew nobody, and so I volunteered at a couple of things, and I still have those friends 15 years later. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to meet people and give back. And, you know, I know from reading the blogs and everything that you've put out that you feel really good about this. This is not a one-way street. I mean, we give, and it is a fantastic feeling when it comes back, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even, you know, I think it's not so much getting anything in return. It's just you see the smile, right? You see the reaction, and that's enough.
Right.
Right there. That's more than any check or any amount of material item could ever receive. So I love it. So I do get great joy out of it.
Yeah, I know you also do a lot of work with Make-A-Wish Volunteer Foundation, which is up here in the Washington area. That's not just focused around autism for you, though, right?
Right.
So your autism is your main focus on what you do, but you also volunteer with Make-A-Wish.
Right. I just love giving back. And, you know, sometimes I think I reach, you know, maybe too much, because then the fatigue starts to set in. So I do have to pace myself. But, you know, giving back to kids and adults, it's what it's all about.
Right. Well, let's talk about something else you work. You teach here, I understand, at the First Tee of Greater Seattle.
Yes.
And their whole goal is to inspire young kids. But tell us how and why.
Well, we at the First Tee of Greater Seattle teach the core values. And
and I should say T is T-double-E as in golf tee.
You could say that. It's a great organization. And the core values that we teach, you know, like confidence, respect, honesty, perseverance, responsibility, integrity, you see these kids demonstrate them every class. And we teach them, but they also teach us. Because sometimes when you're set up for class, and I'm super nervous when I'm setting up for class, right? These kids come up and they say the most amazing things that you'll ever want to hear, not just about golf, but something that happened in the classroom or at the park. So we know that the core values are being taught very well. You know, the coaches there are outstanding. Evan Johnson, Heidi Willis, Shelby Lanting, and Kimberly Good are amazing to work with. So teaching golf is great, and it's secondary because we stress the core values. Golf, you do play golf, you know, but the core values are really where it's at there.
Right. Something that, as you said, is missing in a lot of education these days, as it's evidenced in some of the behavior we see. But I wanted to just talk about how you motivate and inspire people. You yourself, I mean, you went through a lot of training earlier in the year, and then you end up getting injured, which in your line of work is not a good thing.
Nope.
But you talked about, you know, it's teaching you patience. And so talk to us a little bit about how you stay motivated.
Well, I just tell myself to not be afraid to fail, right? You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have peaks. You're going to have valleys. And you can't allow yourself to stay down. And that's in giving back. That's in playing golf or whatever you do. And, you know, I try to stay up by looking at my two-year-old. And everything that I'm building now, it's for him at the end of the day, once it's all said and done. And I tell myself, that no matter how bad it gets or how tough it gets, I'm going to continue to get up and continue to push. Right?
So we talked about fear before the show, fear of failure, because this is something that stops people in their tracks. And, you know, and it's very sad when people don't fulfill their dreams because of fear. And we can tell ourselves, oh, it just isn't meant to be. Or we can tell ourselves, well, I'm not as talented as so-and-so. But, you know, in my experience, it's not always the most talented people who do the best.
Absolutely.
It's the people who persevere, the people who just don't give up. When you're working with kids, how do you inspire that kind of perseverance in them?
You know, I talk to a lot of kids. I say to them, you know, talent is something that we all have. We all are born with talent to do something. Skill comes from hours and hours of working on your craft. And it takes a lot of time.
It's true, though.
It takes a lot of time. And I think a lot of people get it. They get it mixed up because they think they're one and the same, and they're really not. But as long as you're willing to work, eventually you will become successful, and you have to remember that. You got to remember that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You just got to work, and talent alone, you know, won't get you there.
Yeah,
it's a start, but it won't get you there.
Yeah, you know, one of the films that had the most profound effect on me was called Touching the Void. I don't know if you've seen that. It's about two British mountaineers who went up a mountain, and one of them fell down a crevasse, and his partner thought he's gone. Mm. He's dead. There's no way he survived that. And so after, you know, trying to figure things out, the partner actually went down the mountain back to the base camp, told everybody that, you know, he didn't make it. Mm. And yet the guy was still alive, and he was in this almost like an ice cavern. And he eventually, his legs were smashed. He was very badly broken bones everywhere. Right. But he managed to get out, and he managed to get down that mountain.
Wow.
And he did it, he said, by, yeah, if I'd looked at, you know, oh, heck, I got to get all the way down there, it never would have happened. But he did it one rock at a time. He focused on one rock and said, I got to get to that rock. Wow. And then when he got there, it was the next rock. And I think there's a lot to be said for teaching kids that kind of understanding at an early age. I think it makes life easier for them. We talked about golf being a metaphor for life in many ways. You said that as you play, it's like looking in the mirror. Tell us a little bit more about that.
You know, I think golf teaches you about oneself, and how you act on a golf course. A lot of times, it's really how you interact with everybody. And we've all run the gamut on emotions on the golf course. I'm not perfect. I have, you know, been pretty upset, but I also give myself about 15 seconds, after a bad shot or a bad round, and then I'm okay.
Uh-huh.
Right. But it is, I think, reflections of oneself.
And we talked about, you mentioned this on the show, just about being nervousness. And you told me before that, you know, if you're going to play, your nervousness is always at a 10. But then, of course, you get into the game. But I think many times we can take that nervousness and apply it to help us through. So talk to us about how you channel that nervousness.
I think of my niece and nephew.
Mm-hmm.
When I get nervous, I think of my wife. I think of my son when I get nervous. And yes, it's always at a 10. I'm always super nervous about anything. It could be teaching a class. It could be speaking. It could be being on the show today. I'm always at a 10. But then once I get going, right, everything starts to slow down. And I start to kind of focus in.
Right. And I think when you're really good at what you do, if you're really good at golf or whatever it is you do, and, you know, and even if you're not maybe technically the best, if you just focus on that, and it helps you get through, you could just get lost in the moment almost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I told you when we were sitting outside that my parents were competitive golfers, and my brother joined in too. And so, you know, my dad always said that sports, athletics in general, is a great character builder, especially when you are involved in team sports,
yes.
Because it teaches you to play with others and that you can't always have your own way.
Right.
What do you hope to see in say, 5-10 years with autism and awareness?
Wow. More voices. There are a ton of advocates in the field right now that are doing a tremendous job, but more voices, and not just from the advocates. You know, we sometimes forget about the moms and dads
mm-hmm.
who want to talk, who want to speak, who want to vent about their day, and I would love to see more of them have a voice and talk, and hopefully that happens here
right.
real soon.
Right. Well, I pulled a couple of facts of the Autism Org, and now, I mean, we're seeing as many as one in 88 children with autism, and it's growing, and we don't really know why. I mean, right. Environmental factors come into it, genetics. Many studies seem to dismiss the inoculation.
Yeah.
But they're still looking at genetics. They're still looking at environmental situations, including nutritional issues. Mm-hmm. Autism, they say, costs a family $60,000 a year on average. And your sister has two children with autism. And yet autism receives less than 5% of the research funding of many less prevalent childhood diseases. So tell us, and boys, this, I was surprised by this, boys are nearly five times more likely than girls to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it you would like to leave our listeners with today? What would you like to share and that we haven't talked about, Eli?
Don't ever give up. Real quick, I have a radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and I had a friend who was pretty critical of the show. And not the show in general, but I think of me, and he thought that maybe it wasn't the best avenue for me to take. And, I kind of paused for a second and I thought about it. And I just kind of told him, listen, I'm not afraid to be laughed at or fail, right? This isn't about me. This is bigger than me. This is about all these kids and adults who don't have a voice who needs the support of somebody like myself, like Lisa Island. So I guess don't ever give up on anything that you're doing. Doesn't matter what you're supporting. Doesn't matter what you're playing. You know, don't ever stop giving up, because there is success at the end.
I thank you for that. I am so appreciative that you became a Twitter bird and we connected through Twitter. I'd like you to tell listeners where they can find you, Elijah.
I am at ElijahWinfrey1. On Twitter, and on Facebook, Eli Winfrey.
Okay. And I'm so glad you shared that story about your friend critiquing you on your radio show when you first began it, because it just shows that you're the real deal and you're coming from a place, because it's bigger than you. Yes. It is bigger than you. I love it. And one more time, give out your website, please.
ElijahWinfrey.com.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us, Elijah Winfrey. And thank you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be bringing you an interview with Joe Robinson. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay tuned.
Did you know that capsizing boats and people falling overboard account for over 70% of boating fatalities? 80% of those fatalities occur on boats under 26 feet and on boats with operators who've had no formal boating instruction. 50% of all boating accidents involve alcohol. Be smart this summer. Know who you're boating with. Wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket and don't drink and boat. This message is brought to you by supporters of Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair and the JMB Group, who wish you safe boating fun.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Canine Caviar, we cover the world of animals. This week, August 18th, always entertaining, Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, host the show for me. They'll have open phone lines so Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other. Plus, it'll be your last chance to win free tickets to the open house and barbecue fundraiser at Macaw Rescue and Sanctuary Incarnation, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals and paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. pause.org or 425-787-2500.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Time for something different. Time for Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. And coming up in this segment, I'm going to bring you an interview I did early one morning last week. So this is the first time you'll hear it on the show. It's with Jo Robinson. She lives right up here on Vashon Island, and she's the author or co-author of several best-selling books. Her work has been featured extensively in the media, including the New York Times, Time, USA Today, Men's Health, Mother Earth News, and the Wall Street Journal. And she's been heard many times on National Public Radio. Her website's eatwild.com, and she's written this fantastic new book. And I mean it when I say fantastic. There's some really great information in here. Powerhouse of the missing link to optimum health, basically. It's called Eating on the Wild Side. It's being called a radical new way to select and prepare foods to reclaim the nutrients and flavor we've lost. And we're going to bring that interview to you right now. And if we have time at the end, I'll share a couple of interesting factoids with you. All right, Jo Robinson, Eating on the Wild Side, the missing link to optimum health. Well, Jo, I appreciate you being with us. I know you're just across the water from us on Vashon Island. I just am amazed how many talented people they have over there. We've had many of them on our show.
There's just 12,000 of us. We like to be on radio.
So this is such a great book. And I read that Dr. Andrew Weil said that he learned so much from your outstanding book. And I did too. Tell us a little bit about the subject of the book, why you wrote this book and who it's for.
Yes, this is the result of 10 years of my reading scientific journals. And I'm asking myself a specific question, and that is, what is the difference between wild food, which is the food we all consumed, our great-great-great ancestors consumed until 12,000 years ago when we became farmers, and then our food supply was what we created, it was man-made, it was what we chose to eat, not what was in nature. And so I tracked what we did to our food and when we did it, and what are the health consequences today. And a lot of what I found was alarming. And particularly, we have been breeding out antioxidants for 400 generations. So we have, like, for example, our most popular apple is the Yellow Delicious. And wild apples have 100 times more of these phytonutrients, many of which are antioxidants. And they, in test tube studies, these wild apples kill cancer cells 80 times better than our most popular apple. So we did this unwittingly, and we started 400 generations ago, not just 100 years. So my quest was to figure out what did we do, and more important, what can we do now to get back some of those nutrients that are so important for our health.
Right. And I think this is what surprised me the most, because we have done many health shows and we all know we're supposed to be, you know, having food that's rich in antioxidants. And we think that we're getting this fabulous benefit from the fruit we're eating. But not all fruit is equal. Not all vegetables are equal, as you point out in your book. And you just mentioned apples. And I was shocked how the different range of apples, the difference in the antioxidant levels, as you just mentioned. So what should we be looking for if we're buying apples, for example?
In the grocery store, the most nutritious apples are the Granny Smith, which is a nice tart apple, but also the Honeycrisp, which is very sweet. So both of those are good choices. Braeburn, Red Delicious, and Gala. And Fuji, they're the top ones. And the ones that are less they're not as good for us are the Golden Delicious, the Pink Lady, and the Empire, and the Ginger Gold is the least nutritious of all the apples I've ever seen.
Yeah, wow. You know, and some foods, if we don't eat them straight away, you know, very quickly after they're picked, are basically useless. And broccoli was one of those foods. So
yeah, you know, this is a new finding. People haven't been able to detect or measure or understand what these plant chemicals could do for us until the last 15, 20 years. And so now people have discovered that broccoli, which is harvested in California and gets on a truck and ends up in a warehouse and then in the supermarket, in about 2 weeks, it has lost its ability to protect us from cancer and heart disease. The broccoli looks fresh. We wouldn't know the difference, but we're not going to get the health benefits from it.
Yeah. One thing I really wanted to talk about was salad, because I think, you know, the greens that we eat in salad are prevalent right now. As a typical in summer. But again, not all things are equal. Iceberg lettuce, as I've always understood it, has very little nutritional value.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's and it is the most popular vegetable that we eat. We produce 450 metric tons of it a year. And it's so often the case, the most popular, widely produced fruit or vegetable has very little to offer. So iceberg lettuce has about one-tenth of the food value of the leafy lettuces, and especially the dark green leafy lettuces, but even more so red leafy lettuce. That's the number one choice in the supermarket, and it gives you anthocyanins, which we now know are protective against, you know, many of the insults of aging, including memory loss and loss of coordination and cancer and heart disease. So pick foods that are red, green, purple, and black, because they're your sources of anthocyanins.
Right. One thing, you know, I was always taught to do growing up is not to cut my lettuce, to tear it if I needed to, but not to do that until I was ready to eat it. In the book, you say that the science now shows that if we actually tear our lettuce a couple of days ahead of time, or the day before, it actually increases the antioxidants. So I was curious how and why.
Yes, I mean, another bizarre fact that, you know, is very helpful to know is that, you know, these plants don't die when we harvest them. They're still living and they're breathing, and producing chemicals to protect themselves. When we rip them up, this poor lettuce thinks that it's an elk or a deer browsing on it or an insect. And it's going to be just creating this wonderful array of compounds to ward off those animals and insects. And so the next day after we've ripped it all up, it has more antioxidants to offer us. And the flavor is still great. So, you know, we take advantage of the fact that when plants are wounded, they protect themselves, and that protection can become our protection.
That's so interesting. Nature is quite fascinating, isn't it, you know? And one of the things you stress is don't buy supermarket dressing. Make your own and use unfiltered extra virgin olive oil. And I know this is very popular in America, that a lot of people look for that clear olive oil. But I've known from talking with people before that it should be a little cloudy.
Yes, you want to hold that olive oil up to the light, and you don't want to be able to see through it very well, and there should be sediment on the bottom. Now, most people would run away from that, but all that sediment is rich in antioxidants, especially something called squalene, which is anti-cancer and anti-cardiovascular disease. And also, interestingly, the cloudy olive oil stays fresh 3 months longer because it has that antioxidant protection.
Right. And I read in your book that if we buy filtered olive oil, it literally has filtered out half of the bionutrients, which kind of defeats the object of us buying extra virgin olive oil in the first place.
Well, you know, it's another thing about the food industry that we hadn't known, which is, you know, just suit the American taste. We like things to be clear. We think it's more pure or something. We think that cold-pressed extra extra virgin is as good as it can be. But in this country, it's been filtered, and that's not true in many European countries. They drink it as is, and they get a lot of health benefits as a result. You have to search around for unfiltered, and you may need to order on the Internet, but it's worth the effort.
Yeah, and I love your book because at the end of each chapter, you kind of summarize it and say key points to remember, and you also include a few recipes throughout, and including dressing recipes. So this is such a great book. I'm wondering, when you put it together, you said in the beginning that you found some amazing things. What shocked you the most, Joe?
Oh, I think the degree to which we've bred out anthocyanins, which, as I mentioned earlier, are one of the most important plant compounds we can, ingest. Just think about it. Indian corn, it was blue, purple, black, red, had all these multicolors. Well, we found a way, starting in 1820, to make it all yellow and then all white.
What is it? Why do we love everything that's homogenized,
It's something peculiar about this country. It really is. And then countries like us, we're not the only ones, but we're kind of ahead of the pack in terms of choosing things which are not nutritious.
Right.
Carrots used to be purple. We invented orange carrots 400 years ago. But when we did that, we lost the anthocyanins once again. Broccoli used to be purple. I know many gardeners are growing purple sprouting broccoli, and that's an excellent choice. I grow it myself, and it's a wonderful way to bring back nutrients we've bred out of our food unwittingly. We didn't mean to do it. We didn't know what we were doing, but now, thanks to science, we're finding that out.
Well, I love that. You say in the book that orange carrots came about as a mutant yellow African carrot and a purple carrot, I think, from Norway or somewhere, like from the Netherlands.
Yes, uh-huh. We've been, it's amazing how we favor things that are not so good for us. Thompson seedless grapes are our favorite grapes. And that's what's been bred out of those. It's actually a mutant grape that lost the ability to produce these red and black colors.
Right.
I don't know why we eat so much of it, but the ones that have that are red and black have anthocyanins and something called resveratrol, which some people may know is excellent for their heart. So we did a lot of things that we're just now discovering were, going in the wrong direction and just pulling out these nutrients that we now know can be so protective.
Well, your book has been called The Missing Link Between Optimum Health, and I would agree there's a lot of really powerful information in here. One of the things I want to talk about is onions. Chefs say you're not a chef and, not a great cook unless you have shallots in your pantry. So let's talk about the difference between onions and shallots, and because that was quite significant.
Yes, we need to be eating more shallots because they have more of the nutrients that are important in onions than onions do. Now, they're a little more expensive, but also you don't use all that much of them when you're cooking. And here's a surprise. I was amazed to see that green onions or scallions are even better than shallots.
Yeah.
And they're cheap, and they're right there in the grocery store. But here's a secret. The green stocky part of it is better for us than the white bulb. So use the entire green onion when you cook.
Yeah, and that's a part that many people, I've seen friends chop that off and throw that piece away.
Right.
And there's a little tip to garlic that can increase its health benefits. Tell us what that is, if you would.
Yes, I want everyone to know this. Garlic is a really potent compound. It's been known for 4,000 years that it helps us our health in many, many ways. But if you take a fresh clove of garlic and you chop it or slice it and throw it immediately or into hot oil, you have prevented the creation of the compound that is the medicine in garlic. It's called allicin. And that was only learned in 2004. But there's a tip, as you say, a secret. If you take that fresh clove, chop it or press it, and then set it aside for just 10 minutes at room temperature, you can do this. I do this all the time now. You get maximum amounts of allicin, and you can throw it into sizzling oil and bake with it and saute it, and the allicin is preserved. So my mantra is press that garlic, then rest it.
Right, and that's good for heart disease, right, Allison?
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people have diabetes and they're told to stay away from potatoes, or we're told to stay away from the white stuff if we're trying to lose weight. You have some tips in there because I think many people don't realize that how food changes when you cook it. Some food is better uncooked and some food is better cooked. But with potatoes, you know, I have a friend recently diagnosed with diabetes and is trying to stay away from potatoes. You say if you cook potatoes, then chill them for about 24 hours, they're transformed from high glycemic into low glycemic or moderate glycemic state. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, more kitchen magic. if you eat just a baked potato, for example, it can boost your blood sugar as much as eating two slices of white bread. Very, very likely to increase your risk of diabetes. But that same white potato that you've cooked, refrigerate it overnight, and then reheat it, or eat it cold, either way, that starch is converted into a different form that is digested much more slowly. So the glucose, the sugar from that potato, you know, enters our bloodstream over a matter of hours, not minutes. And that keeps it from being, you know, a contributing cause to diabetes and obesity. It's, who would have thought, you know, that potato salad is an excellent way to use potatoes because you've chilled it.
Right, right. Well, I have far more questions and we have time, unfortunately. I know I do have to let you go. But I thank you, Joe Robinson, so much for being with us today. Fabulous book. Excellent. It's called Eating on the Wild Side. And thank you again for being with us today.
I enjoyed it. And it's nice to talk to someone across this water.
Well, again, the book, Eating on the Wild Side, The Missing Link to Optimum Health, it's got great reviews, just made it to the New York Times best-selling book list. And wanting to share a couple of quick factoids, I was just telling Eric here during the break, that 9 out of every 10 apples we eat comes from a mere dozen varieties today. We've gone from 15,000 varieties to 12 in just 3 generations. Quite shocking. And Eric, did your grandmother tell you this? Because this is what we always heard in our house. If you were feeling a little out of sorts or under the weather, you need more prunes.
No.
It was big in our family. My grandmother would always say, you need prunes. Have them on your breakfast and your dessert, whatever, right? And of course, subsequently, my mother and, you know, my dad were the same way. And it turns out that prunes, or dried plums, are actually higher in antioxidants than many other nutritious fruits, including most varieties of blueberries and strawberries.
Interesting.
I know.
Well, they certainly keep you regular. So, you know, I could see if you're out of sorts, that would be helpful. But also the antioxidants. So that's fantastic. Yeah.
And beets have more antioxidant activity than all other common vegetables, except for artichokes, which I never really hear about as being great for you.
No.
Red cabbage, kale, and bell peppers. Beets have 9 times more than the typical tomato and 50 times more than orange carrots.
It makes sense because of the purple coloring. And as she was talking about in that interview, that purple coloring is a good indicator of nutrition.
Right, right. And here's another one I just shared with you because we never hear this either. We hear about oranges being great for vitamin C. Mm-hmm. Mangoes, which I prefer, have 5 times more vitamin C than oranges, 5 times more fiber than pineapple, and a very generous number of phytonutrients. All good stuff.
Absolutely.
So again,
I think we're going to have a fruit salad after this.
With purple in it. Well, I thank you all for being with us today. Thanks to Eric, of course, always for keeping us live. We do appreciate that, of course, every week. And my guest was Jo Robinson, Eating on the Wild Side is her book. And of course, Elijah Winfrey. You can find out more about him and the awesome work he's doing up here, giving back to the community in the Northwest, at ElijahWinfrey.com. And of course, I want to thank you for tuning in, because without you, there'd be no show, period. And if you have questions or comments or feedback on today's show, you can reach me at info@conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net, or on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair. or on our Facebook page, which is Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. And, of course, our website, we've got over more than 300 podcasts on there since we're entering our seventh year with KKNW. And you can find that at conversationslive.net. Thanks again for being with us. We'll be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.